Blog Talk Radio.
Hey mama, hey mama. No, I ain't never tell you this before. I ain't never tell you this before. But it really hurt me to know I'm running you crazy. Know I'm running you crazy. I'm gonna talk to you real quick. I'm gonna talk to you, mama. My mama told me while I run these streets, she can't sleep. Her phone ring late at night, she thinks I'm having to me. Her nerves so bad right now, she can't watch TV. She turn her head every time she see a police. She scared to look, cause it might be me in the bike seat. Whenever she hear about her shooting, her heart skip a beat. She heard the bears in town, her knees got weak. She know I'm at the highs, the only time she had peace. Her blood pressure through the roof, all because of me. Her favorite words is dope ain't the only way to eat. She told me the other day she hope I don't die in these streets. I just pray to God she don't wipe her hands with me. I'm a goon to the streets, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. Shit I'm doing now got nothing to do with how you raised it. She killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy. Goon to the streets, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. I'm doing, I got nothing to do with how you raised me. Shit killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy. Remember the night, me sitting up in a cold cell. I'm waking you up out your sleep, it's me calling you from jail. You ain't scared, but I know inside you mad as hell. You called off from work just to pull me out of jail. I get in trouble, I call you, seem like it never fail. Can hear you now, boy, you need to sit your ass down somewhere. I come and eat, I take a shower, then I'm out of there. I know I'm stressing, yet times seem like I don't care. You wrote bad check for me to have something to wear. You risk your freedom for me, 9 days is real rare. Every time I think about this shit, I wanna shed a tear. That's why I buy you some for Father's Day every year. I'm a goon to the streets, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. Shit I'm doing now got nothing to do with how you raised me. She killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy. Goon to the streets, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. Shit I'm doing now got nothing to do with how you raised me. She killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy. You did the best you could with me, and I love you for that. Wanted me to stay in school, but that ain't where my heart was at. I got exposed to the streets and fell in love with that. And all the times I hurt you, wish I could take it back. When daddy left us, you stepped up and took up his slack. I know I'm selfish and feelings is something I know I lack. This shit I'm doing now, I know you raised me better than that. You taught me how to be a man and showed me how to act. Sometimes I wonder how you still proud I'm your son. After all the stuff I took you through and all the shit I done. But like you told me, God want me how I can't run. Before he take me, want you to know how much I love you, mom. I'm a goon to the street, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. Shit I'm doing now got nothing to do with how you raised me. Shit killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy. Goon to the street, but to my mama, I'm still a baby. Raise a street nigga by yourself, you a hell of a lady. Shit I'm doing now got nothing to do with how you raised me. Shit killing me to know I'm running my mama crazy.
Like I'm speaking for every street nigga around the world. I don't think we sit down long enough sometimes just to realize what we're taking our mama through. It hurt me to know, dog, that I'm running my mama crazy. And it's really killing me to know that I'm half killing my mama.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T. And that was Running My Mama Crazy by Plies. I haven't heard that song in a while, but I thought the song was pretty fitting because, you know, a lot of times as teenagers we do run our, you know, our parents crazy and we make, you know, horrible decisions that not only affect ourselves, but they also end up affecting our families as well. So that's why I chose that song for tonight. That's probably one of the few songs I really like that Plies did. So anyways, I see everybody coming into the chat room. I see the people calling in on hold. So it's a lot of interesting stories going on. Right now I'm editing a video and it should be up on YouTube shortly. I hope everybody's doing good tonight. But basically, one of the main stories that's going on right now, if you guys remember, I had did a video on it about a month or so, probably 2 months ago, about the killing of little JoJo Coleman that happened in Chicago. And if you guys haven't heard, his mom met up with T.J. Holmes from CNN, and she sat down on his show to talk to him about the killing of her son, and she's basically saying that Chief Keith was behind her son's murder. Ronnie, did you get a chance to check out the interview?
Yes, I did, and still find the whole thing disturbing, especially the interview.
So what were, I mean, because there's a lot of emotions going on right now. A lot of people are pissed off. They're saying that she has no business trying to accuse Chief Keith, especially without proof, and I do agree with that. But I think what kind of bothered me with the whole issue is the fact that she's trying to play it off like she didn't know her son was a gangbanger.
Yeah.
You know, like it seemed like they were trying to clean it up. I mean, let's be real. My heart goes out to any parent who loses their child, regardless of what they were involved in. Nobody deserves to lose their life. But to play it off and act like she said in the interview that she enjoyed his music. The music I've heard little JoJo rhyme about was basically killing other people, selling drugs, you know, the same old. So he's telling you in his music that he gang bangs and this is his gang that he's representing, but she's going up and down that he wasn't in a gang. That part kind of disturbed me. If we're going to have an interview, let's be honest and let's put everything out there. What parts of the interview disturbed you?
The fact that she dismissed, you know, any knowledge that her son was in a gang. Really, if you're a concerned parent, you're going to find out damn near anything. Then when I seen her on the video talking, like the first 5 seconds, it's like she was like, it was a joke. Like, you're like, she's just smiling. Like, you know, this is something, you know, you laugh about at school. And, yeah, it just, the whole thing really disturbed. I mean, there's so many things, questions I want to ask. But the fact that it seems so dismissive, it's like, you know, you're accusing Keith Chief or whatever for, you know, I guess, having something to do with the murder, but why come out now? And why do what you do? I mean, I just question her motives and everything.
Right. You know, that's what a lot of people are saying in the chat room, that, you know, the main reason why he got killed was because he disrespected a gang. It wasn't just him disrespecting Chief Keith. You know, and that's what people need to realize. When you put certain things out there online, you know, even though you may just be talking to one person, the world is seeing this. So even though his little issue may have been with Chief Keith, when you're screaming out things like, you know, BBK, other people in that gang are looking at that. You know, you're disrespecting that entire gang. And I think because he was so young, he just didn't know the extent of it. You know, and I think I blame the big homies. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, well, where were his big homies? Where were his uncles at? Where was his father? You know what I'm saying? Why was nobody pulling this young man aside and saying, you know, if you're going to bang, that's fine, but you don't take it to the internet, and you don't disrespect the whole gang. And people know how people's mentalities are in Chicago. They take that very seriously. So for her to pretend that she didn't know her son was in a gang, I'm not buying that. But what I find funny is the fact that they just try to glide over the fact that he was in these videos. I mean, the arsenal that this young man and his homeboys had was no joke. Tech 9s, 9 millimeters, you know, semi-automatic. And these are little kids, you know what I'm saying? They in this video just brandishing all these weapons. They just glazed over that. You can't tell me you didn't know your son was in a gang, but he got more stockpile weapons than some of the military people do in Iraq. I mean, it's crazy, you know. And I just think that for her to not be honest, that's what kind of bothered me with the whole interview. I just think that, you know, that she should have been honest and said, yes, her son was in a gang. But that doesn't negate the fact that her son was murdered in cold blood. But let's not try and say, you know, innocent. You don't know what he was about. He wasn't a college student. You know, he may have been going to school, but he wasn't. He was making videos and he was trying to be a rapper. But I think also it's sad that that's like the only thing that these kids have to look forward to is being a rapper, because that's all she spoke about was, you know, him being a rapper. And then his brother was saying that he's doing that he basically caught Chief Keef out, so that way he could feed and take care of his family. But like G. Stewart was saying in the chat room, you know, he's tired of the moms coming out here and saying that, you know, the sons were trying to take care of them. It's not a child's place to take care of the family. It's your job as an adult and as a mother to take care of your child. you know, it wasn't his job to have the whole burden of having to feed his family.
You definitely hit some points on there because, again, this shows a comparing lack of parenting in this situation. You have to, I mean, like, again, we were raised maybe different. You know, we didn't have closed doors. We had more parents involved in what we're doing. If there was, like, let's say, that kind of amount of money coming in, they were investigating there, where's this coming from? You know, if it was something that was dirty or whatever, you put that shit back. That's just how it was. But now, you know, they get that little money, you know, they say nothing. It's like hush money. And then back then there used to be a code in the streets where, you know, they would have pulled, you know, him to the side and like, you know, shut your ass up or we'll beat your ass up. You know, this thing like no women, no kids. Don't make it personal. But now it's a free-for-all. It's the okay corral out here. Everyone's
right.
And
a lot of people are saying in the chat room that basically what set it off was when he was cussing out Little Reese, and people heard him say he was going to kill him or whatever. And, you know, that may have been what set it off, and then the fact that he posted his whereabouts and everything else. So I just think it was a lot of mistakes made on that young man's part. But, again, he was young, you know, and I put myself in his shoes being a 17, 18-year-old kid. You just don't think things through. And that's why I say, you know, he messed up. He made his mistakes. He had no business getting on camera saying the things that he did. But where was the leadership? Where was his parents? Where were the parental figures? Where were his grandparents, his aunts, his uncles? You know what I'm saying? It seems like he comes from a pretty big family. So where are all these older people to pull him to the side? You know, kids are going to join gangs. That, you know, that happens every day. But, again, the way he went about everything, I think, is what played in his demise, unfortunately. But, you know, the music that Chief Keef and all these other kids make, and I understand both points because I get people who tell me all the time, well, he's trying to do something positive. He wants to get off the hood. He's trying to make his money, you know, while y'all hating on him. And it's really not hating. You know, I'm happy to see any young kid do something positive. But when you're making music and it's nothing but destruction, you're telling, you know, kids my son's age to go get a gun and go blow another kid's head off, I can't rock with that. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Chief Keef, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent. I can't rock with that. Like, that's not cool to me. You know, and I just feel like if we're going to, you know, give these kids major deals to get them out the hood, cool. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to get signed, but can we have some kids who are talking about something besides killing? We're just losing too many young males who are not making it to 18, and it's not just in Chicago, it's all over the country, and it's just too many young people who are not living to see their full potential, you know, and I think back to, like, all the friends I went to school with in high school and the people I knew growing up in my neighborhood who didn't make it past 16, 17, 18, and I look back like, damn, I wonder what they could have did had they not been killed at 16, you know, and I think first we need to change the mentality of our thinking. And I remember I had asked one of my friends, he's a white dude, he was raised in our hood or whatever, but I had asked him, and I was like, did your parents tell you growing up that you would never make it to see 18? He was like, nah, my parents never told me that, you know what I'm saying? They told me I could be anything I wanted to be, but, you know, I just kind of messed up because I was doing me. So I'm like, I find that interesting because when I asked my black homies, you know, when we just talk about stuff, you know, as far as life and where we grew up, you know, around, a lot of my black homeboys were always told they'll be lucky if they make it to be 18. And I was thinking about that, like, we have to change that mentality. Because when you're telling the kid that they'll be lucky to make it to 18, they're taking that as, I'm not going to make it to see 18 anyway, so why should I care about blowing your head off, or why should I care about doing this robbery if I'm not going, you know, I got to live my life now how I see fit because I probably won't make it to see 18. We have to stop telling our young boys that they'll be lucky to make it to see 18 because what I noticed happened with a lot of the kids I grew up with, like a lot of the young men who made it past 18, by the time they got to be 25, they were just lost because they had expected to be killed in a drive-by or, you know, whatever at 18, 19, 20. So now you're 25, 26 years old, and you've been growing up with this mentality that you would never make it or you'll be in prison by the time you're 21. And then you're not in prison and you're not dead. Now what? So I think we have to definitely change our mentality as a people and start teaching our kids, you know, something different. Letting them know, no, you're not going to, you know, only live to be 18. You can live to be 100 years old, but it's all about the decisions and the choices that you make. So what do you think about that? Because, like I said, when I asked my white friends, they didn't grow up with that mentality. But when I asked a lot of my black friends, you know, a lot of, like, my black homeboys, they grew up hearing that. You know, you'll be lucky if you make it to see 18. You'll be lucky if you don't go to jail by the time you're 21. Did you hear that growing up at all? Not necessarily by your mom, but just around the people you're around?
I've heard that in certain circles. Very few people of different ethnicities. I've heard that just because, you know, the dysfunction in their family. But for, you know, I think when it's mainly children of color, I've heard, like, you know, the mindset that's been put out there is, like, so limiting. Like, you figure you got to have a mean jump shot, or you got to be able to be a great football player or a rapper, or it's like the pool, the success pool for people of color is so small, from what I gather. And, you know, I know that's why I've been, myself and a few others have been treated different, because we had other different gifts that we've been told, you know, that can make us special. You know, being able to draw, you know, being able to speak well, or anything positive is deemed as not black, or, you know, they pretty much make you an outcast for being something outside the norm. And that mindset is obviously dangerous for a reason, because, like you said, when you get children who make it past their so-called expiration date, they didn't plan that far ahead. They don't know what to do. They're like, okay, I'm 25 years old. I have no clue. I had no thoughts. I didn't cancel my dreams around 14 or less. And what I had to live for. And it really hits home on this one, because I've seen quite a few friends that should be here, but they're not. And this mindset has to really stop. I mean, especially with, you know, especially using JoJo's mom for an example. It seemed like it's just real careless. Like, well, you know, he's gone, but I can, you know, there'll be another one. And
bye-bye.
I mean, it's just no concern. Like, again, like, when my father passed, my mom was upset. Very upset. You could tell there was one way to talk to anybody at first, but now it's just like, oh, well, you know, hey, just treat it like an old movie and keep it moving. The whole thing bothers me. It just does.
Yeah, I definitely think the mentality, like I said, it starts at home. And it starts with what you tell your children. You can definitely, I'm a big believer of speaking things into existence. And when you tell a young male that they'll never be shit, or that there'll be nothing like their, you know, but like their deadbeat father who's not on nothing, you know, you can plant certain seeds into your kids' head. You know, that's why I feel like you all got to reinforce the positive and let your kids know, especially, you know, especially for young black males, because there's a lot of stuff that we as black females go through. But young black males have it a lot harder, in my opinion. So we got to reiterate that, you know, that you can be more than a Lil Wayne. You can be more than a basketball player or a football player. You know, there's other things out here that you can do. You know, everybody's not going to be the next big rapping sensation. Everybody's not going to be the next best football player. So for those who can't throw a football or you know, do a jump shot, what are their options? So you need to start looking into that. You know, like, what else is your kid good at besides rapping and besides this and that? Because, you know, the rap game right now is so oversaturated with just bullshit. You know, the music is nonsense. There's just no feeling in the music anymore. That if kids do make it, it's like they got to come in just talking about nonsense. Just like Lil Mouse, you know, and he's, just to look at him, he's a baby. You know, he's 13. He's like a year older than my son. And the stuff that just comes out his mouth just makes me real sad, because it's like, you know, this is somebody's child. And people can kind of spin it how they want to and say, well, you know, he's just making money and it ain't no big deal and it's just fun and games. But it's not fun and games, because he might have the comfort of getting a $100,000 contract, and he's living a good life. But there are other 13-year-olds right now who are really out here struggling, whose parents are on drugs, or whose parents just don't want to take care of them or do right by them, and they only have no other choice but to go out there and go rob and to go out there and go do dirt, you know what I'm saying, to make ends meet and to feed themselves and clothe themselves. So when you're 13 and you're rapping about killing other people and selling drugs, there are kids who really live that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? There's really kids out here who are about that life at 13, 14, because I grew up around kids like this in my neighborhood who, you know what I'm saying, who will rob you blind and not think, you know, not blink, not bat an eyelash. So there's really kids out here who are like that. So why perpetuate that? We have enough of that in the hood anyway. We don't need it on record, you know, especially when you're not really living that life. That's the thing that kills me. You have kids who are really living that life, who are really stick-up kids, who are really out here doing dirt in and out of jail. But they're not the ones out here rapping and bragging about it because they don't want to live that lifestyle. A lot of them just really don't have no choice because you can't get no job at 13, 14. You know what I'm saying? Plus go to school. But you have a lot of parents out here who are just not about shit, who don't need to have any kids, but let alone six, seven of them. So you got these kids out here having to live that lifestyle and fend for themselves and sell drugs and everything else. But then you got another kid who lives in the suburbs, who has a mom and dad, who's doing good. But then you choose to perpetuate that lifestyle. I just don't understand that. That's the part that kills me more with the stuff that's going on in hip-hop. It's just the fakeness. It's just everybody just being so fake with the situation.
Well, it's one of the many layers. This is like the one of the many layers we have to unravel. Because really, if we don't change our mindset, this is going to get progressively worse because, you know, the parents that raised us, you know, and, you know, the generation that we were in the beginning where we had some kind of stability, that slowly evaporate, slowly but surely. And now you got people who glorify this name, Chirac, which is outright insulting. It's kind of like society is really unraveling on itself. And this only shows you how important that power block, which is the family unit, is. Learning how to do conflict resolution. Like, learn how to communicate with each other and ourselves. And when you don't have that, you're going to have episodes like this much more. Because if you don't have anything to live for, life doesn't matter, or the lives of others. And especially these kids, like when we used to play outside and learn how to be sociable, learn how to talk to each other and interact with each other. This is way beyond MySpace and Facebook and tagged and all that mess. Now we just lost touch with reality, slowly but surely. And either we get it, we fight for it back, or they're going to take all of us with them.
Right, that's the truth. They're talking about Little Mouse having video vixens in his video, you know, grown women up in his video shaking their ass and, you know, acting a mess. They're also saying that a lot of people in this generation, unfortunately, don't care. You know, and when you have people who don't care about life, it makes for a scary situation. Because if you don't give two shits about your life, I know damn well you don't give two shits about my black ass. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's sad, but it's the truth. I mean, you have some people out here, you just look into their eyes, and it's just like, you know, it's almost like their soul is gone. They just don't care no more. And I think there's a lot to that, but it's just really, really sad. We're going to go ahead and start taking some calls. I see a few people on hold. Area code 253, we're going to go ahead and let you in. Area code 253, you're on air with Table Talk with T. Who is this?
Hey, T, it's Mr. Green.
Hey, Mr. Hello. Green, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Oh, I just had to call in because you guys may not believe it, but Chief Keef is my cousin.
Is he really?
Yes, his mom and my mom are half-sisters. They're the same dad.
Oh my God! It's a small world.
Yeah.
Do you live in Chicago?
We just moved to Seattle because Chicago got really bad. Like, I mean, I couldn't even tell you. Like, I had to fight every single day.
Your phone, babe. Your phone is breaking up. We need to get to somewhere where we can hear you because your phone is going in and out. It's breaking up really bad.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
That's okay.
Yeah.
I can hear you better now.
Yeah. I've had knives and...
Hello?
I think his phone went out.
Wow, it is a small world.
Mr. Green?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it is a small world. I think you need to get better reception to go.
Here, hold on. Give me
okay.
A few seconds.
Okay. Yeah, it is a small world. So his mom and Chief Keith's mom are half sisters.
Hello.
Yeah.
Somebody said upgrade that crooked phone.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
We can hear you better now. They go in on your phone in the chat room.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is really bad out there. Like, I had to fight almost every day at school.
So now, you were staying in Chicago. Where are you at now?
Seattle.
Oh, so y'all moved to Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, that's the 253 area code.
So now when you were in Chicago, because you're younger, you're only 13, so you weren't staying in the projects. The projects was told down by the time you were born, right?
Hello?
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 Yeah.
Okay, what I was saying is, because I know you said you're only 13, so by the time you were born, the projects were gone, weren't they? You didn't stay in the projects, did you?
Well, we didn't stay in the projects, but it was like the projects.
Right, because once they destroyed the projects, everybody from the projects just moved out to the suburbs and wherever else. So, So what did you want to say about the whole Chief Keith situation?
It's crazy because I haven't spoken to Keith in over a year. And it's like he's had a really, really rough life. Like, his mom has 15 kids. Her name is Madeline Cozart. Yeah, her name is Madeline Cozart. It's Kevin Cozart. Yeah.
But I thought she was only like 35.
They're younger.
So she has a lot of kids, so that's
A lot of kids. That's why, And he has a disease. Like, he doesn't have a disease, but he has like a mental problem, so he can't really like speak too well.
Asperger's syndrome or something like that.
Asperger's something like that.
Yeah, it's hard for him to make contact, eye contact, and things like that. So, were you and him really close growing up?
Not really, because we have a really big family. They were in Georgia at one point, and they were getting ready to kill him down there because there was gangs and this craziness in Decatur. And she moved them back up to Chicago, and she thought it would be better, but it's not.
No, Chicago is
gotten worse.
It's that that's where my boyfriend is from. You know, he grew up in Robert Taylor, so that's where he grew up in the projects, in Robert Taylor projects, and you know, just the stuff that they saw growing up in the 90s, you know, was real bad. I mean, it was literally like walking over dead bodies all the time and shootouts. And,
yeah.
You know, then the whole
dead bodies, trash everywhere.
Right. It was really bad. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
it's crazy
they didn't have anything, period. Mm-hmm. You know, so for him to come out of Robert Taylor and do everything he does now, it's like I'm really proud of him because it's like, you know, he came from a situation with nothing and he made something of himself. But
and you can make it out of there.
You can.
Yeah.
And
I want to talk about Lil JoJo because it kind of pissed me off. His mom talking about my cousin like that because she has no room to talk because she's known around the hood as a pothead. All she does is smoke weed. She gets high with his. She used to get high with her son.
Oh, I believe it.
Because
there's a lot of parents out here who get high with their kids. So when she accused your cousin of basically setting up Lil JoJo. So you guys watched that. Did your mom have anything to say? Was she feeling any type of way?
Yeah, she was. Everybody was pissed off because they knew it wasn't him. He shouldn't have been on YouTube. He's not no kid if he's on YouTube banging stuff and guns and money.
Right. You know, when I first saw the video, it was disturbing because I'm just like, even before, you know, he got killed, when the video was first starting to circulate, And I'm like, does this kid realize that he's dissing an entire gang? Like
a gang. BDK,
like, right,
blood.
A gang. Like, you don't do that. That's just something
yeah,
you
blood
just don't
disciple
do
killers.
Right. Black, not blood baby, black.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just kind of crazy. And so with him being as young as he is, where do you think it went wrong? So you didn't know Lil JoJo, correct? You just
yeah, I actually knew Lil JoJo. He went to school with us.
Oh, so you didn't know JoJo?
Yeah,
okay,
all
so
I did was talk shit.
Okay, so what was his beef with? Is it that him and Chief Keef were really beefing? Because some people are saying that he didn't really know Chief Keef. He was just trying to call him out to get.
Lil JoJo was he was the type of kid who liked to talk mess and start stuff, but he didn't back it up.
Yeah, you know, that's the unfortunate part, you know, sometimes when that's what teenagers do, unfortunately. You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
teenagers, you know, just talk mess, but, you know, at the end of the day, nobody deserves to get their life took over something.
No, nobody deserves to get their life
took. But I definitely do not agree with her saying that she, you know, was behind the murder, because I don't think it's ever fair to accuse anybody of anything without proof. You know,
yeah.
And with what he did,
exactly.
With just too many suspects. You can't just say it was just one person.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about being that, okay, your family, a majority of your family is from Chicago, so I'm sure you're aware of, like, the gang situation and gangbang
yeah.
and everything else. You know, why do you think that so many kids are joining gangs again? Because I remember for a while in the 90s it was popular. Like when we was in junior high and everything, there was a lot of people, you know, gangbanging. You had the whole Crips and Blood scene in L.A. and everybody wanted to be a gangster. You know, you had Snoop Dogg. And then it died off for a little bit because it was so many killings and it was just so much nonsense. And it died off for a little bit. But now it seems like the whole gang culture, excuse me, is more
yeah.
popular than ever. Everybody wants to be a blood. Everybody's, you know, trying to gangbang. Everybody's trying to get seen. So why do you think a lot of kids your age are joining gangs?
Well, I don't think a lot of kids want to join gangs. A lot of kids are forced. Because when I was in Chicago, three
mm-hmm.
dudes came up to me after school. One of them busted me in my eye. And the other held me up at knife point and said that I better get down with BDK or else.
You know,
and they robbed me. They robbed me of
that?
My shoes because I had some J's in my backpack. They robbed me of my shoes, my gym shorts. It was crazy. I went home. My mom, she was very pissed. She called the police, but they didn't come. And I had a black eye for a few days.
You know what's so crazy that you said that, and I'm
yeah.
glad that you said that, because some people think that kids just join gangs because they want to be cool or that they're sheeples and they just want to, you know, fit in. But a lot of
no,
kids
no,
are
like that. Some kids are like that, but most kids
right.
are not. Most kids have
yeah,
to,
kids
they're forced
kids.
To join these gangs, and they're forced to follow these people.
Right.
And be a part of that lifestyle.
Right, and I remember my boyfriend telling me that, too, that in Chicago is different. It's not just where, you know, in a lot of cities you have a lot of wannabes. So they're like, I want to be in a gang because it's a cool
Lil
thing.
JoJo.
But he was saying that where he was raised and where he was from, it wasn't no, if you choose to be, nah, they're coming to you and you are about to
they're
be
coming
gang.
At you.
Right, if you live in that neighborhood, you're part of this gang, point blank, period.
Yep.
You don't care what your mama say. You are GD or you are BD or you are, you know, a vice lord or a Latin king. And so I'm glad you pointed that out, because so many times we tend to think that these kids just join just to be cool or, you know, for whatever reason. But some kids are really forced into these gangs that they don't have no other choice. If they say no, they can be killed.
Like Benny, like Benny Siegel said in the hood, the motto is get down or lay down.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not lying about that. Celebrate in the chat room is saying in her hood they have a lot of Bloods, Crips, and Latin Kings. People were saying, did you watch Lil JoJo's funeral? It was really ratchet.
I didn't want to watch the funeral.
It was online. Yeah, it was online, and I did watch the funeral, and it was, you know, I felt like there was.
Yeah, it's sad. You know what I'm saying?
Sad.
He's gone, but I don't
sad.
Feel sorry for him too much.
I feel like there should have been more respect at the funeral. People were bum rushing. They almost knocked the casket over. They had to kick people off the scene. I think a lot of people showed up to be nosy because of the story, not necessarily to mourn him. you know, because there was a lot of people there that were not family, that they didn't know. And then outside, somebody started rapping the whole BDK song, and, you know, it was on World Star Hip Hop, and everybody was like, is this a funeral or is this a club party? You know, because it was just, it was a lot of craziness going on that day. But the sad part is, since little JoJo has been killed, a lot of other young kids have lost their lives, you know, since then. So I don't think that people should just focus on, you know, the whole little JoJo and Chief Keef situation. There's a lot of kids out here losing their lives.
A lot of kids. I'm not sure if you saw it, but they did a little interview with Lil Mouse. They took it down. But Lil Mouse, everybody's talking to him because his name was around the way. I didn't even know who he was, but I saw his video on YouTube, and I was like, whoa. Like, ooh, he had gun. I didn't even know he was 13. He was like, he was 11. And then they asked him, they was like, why did you make the video? He was like, it was better than selling weed. So he was out there selling weed, and he said he got a 40 on his hip. He really got a 40 on his hip.
So, Ronan, what do you think about the entire situation? Mr. Green is spitting a lot of knowledge here. He's dropping a lot of jewels, and I really appreciate that. That's why I like to hear from the young kids, because you guys are out there living it. You guys are in the
streets.
We're kind of old. We go to work every day.
You guys are more or less out there.
You know, I talk to my son about certain things, but, you know, it's good to get other perspectives. So what do you think about everything Mr. Green is saying, Ronan?
I appreciate his honesty. The fact that I always had a feeling that there's another side of the story that hasn't been told. And it's common. I've seen it before where you had, you know, a ratchet individual, a mom, girl or something, always stirring up something, and they have revenge. You know, they pull up some facade on the news, but the neighborhood knows what's really going on. So, yeah, there's plenty of kids out there off a lot of that, you know, gets real, they can't come back from that.
Can't.
It's one of
my. So, did you ever hear growing up, Mr. Green, what people would tell young black males that you'll be lucky if you live to be 18?
All the time.
Right. So
all
how
the time.
Do you feel about
my aunt,
that
Chief Keef's mom, Aunt Maddie, we call her Aunt Maddie. She's like, you ever seen Precious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The mom, Mary.
Mhm.
That's her. 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
She acts 10 times worse. That's why Chief Keef is the way he is. That's why he has that syndrome, whatever. I forgot the name of it. Because all she does is smoke crack, get high, collect welfare checks. She's not working, popping out babies. She has a baby like almost every year. It's like, really? Like, you just had one last year. Come on now.
Right, but unfortunately, there's so many people like her. She ain't the only one.
Yeah.
I can name a million ladies who are like Mary in the hood I grew up. You know, so it is sad, and I'm glad that we have young men your age who see through the bullshit. As young as you are, being aware and not feeding into that stereotype, because I want to tell you, coming from me, there is life past the age of 18. And you can be anything you want
to
be. And don't listen
to
the bullshit in the music or what the media tells you. Yes, you can definitely go to college, even if you don't go to college, because I don't even think it's always about getting that degree or that piece of paper, but being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Some people are very much fulfilled, and they don't need a bachelor's degree. You know, but just being an overall good person, like, just realize, like, there was so much more to life after high school. Life does not stop at high school. Life does not stop at 18. And that's the point I want to get out there to a lot of young black dudes, you know, to start thinking beyond the age of 18 and 21, beyond thinking, oh, like you should be rewarded because you didn't go to jail. Well, I ain't never been to prison. Motherfucker, you shouldn't be in prison. Why should you be rewarded for not going to prison? Like, you're not supposed to go to prison. But the mentality is, if you're a young black male, you'll probably be locked up by the time you're 25, and that's bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Because
there's a lot of
black
guys who
might
never been to prison.
I would just like to say, this persona that they put out on all these kids, this drill music scene, is not like that. Because Chief and Reese, they're not like that at all. You see that on those videos with that loud music banging, but they're just like your average teenagers. They're real cool kids. I mean, they got the guns, they got the drugs, they got the money, they be flashing in whatever, with their, you know, same with their friends, but they're really nice kids deep down.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that, because sometimes we see that persona and we
yeah, you see that persona. They put that image out on you, that monster image, and Chiefy's nothing like that. Nothing like that.
So why do you think that these kids, you know, why do you think the industry forces people to put out that persona? Because it's like, it's not cool to be smart. It's not cool to just be yourself.
To be a square and, go to school.
Yeah, you got
to
be super hard. You got to be
Yeah,
a
you
got to
be hard. Want to be out there banging, yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, yeah, they put that image out there because they see it as if they act like that, they get attention. They get the girls, they get the money. Because that's what every kid, not every kid, but that's what most kids want. They want to be popular. They want to be trending on
right.
Twitter. Yeah.
And I guess that's the same for, you know, and we go through it as women. You know, because it's never okay to be smart and to be able to hold an actual conversation. It's always about
mm-hmm.
how big your ass is, how big your boobs are, you know, but screw my brain. Screw the fact that I can actually, you know, communicate on a different level with you. So, and we
yeah.
go through that as women, too, like where we have to put on this persona sometimes on television where, especially with black women, they're only seen for their bodies. You know, like when you
yeah.
watch Basketball Wives and it's just all about, oh, Drea has a banging shape, or look at Brooke's butt, and you know what I'm saying? But it's never about how intelligent these women are. You know, so it
yeah.
I guess everybody's forced to put on a face or a front. And it's
and you know
that
those
like
girls,
that.
You know those girls, Shady and what's her name? Katie Bangs. Those
okay,
two rappers.
Yeah, I've seen Katie Bangs' video.
Yeah, they be around Chicago doing all kinds of mess. They're real fast. They be doing fucking off dudes and all kind. They just real nasty.
I don't like none of their music. I do like
Sasha
Go Hard. I think Sasha
yeah,
Go Hard.
Yeah, Sasha Go Hard. That's her. That's she's the main one.
I mean, I think she can rap out of all the girls in the Chicago girl scene. I think Sasha goes hard. But,
mm-hmm.
again, I just wish they could just step up their lyrical content. You know, it's just
do
not
some
all
real,
about
do some positive
head.
Stuff. Instead
right,
of talking about
you know.
Instead of talking about giving some dude head. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So we have a few other people calling in. Stay on the line with me, Mr. Green, because you're making a
yeah,
lot of
good points. I will.
Okay, so stay on the line. I'm going to go ahead and let Eric call 414 in.
Hey, what's up,
414.
T?
Hey,
what's
up,
T?
Who's
this? Is Track Laser calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What's going on? You're the one who requested the video.
Yeah. I'm about to kind of break some things down. It's going to get a little deep in here, but, you know, it needs to happen.
What
you need to really analyze is what happened on T.J. Holmes' show when she went on the show and just basically said, yeah, you know, Chief Keef, you know, put the hit out on my son. That could be true. It could not be true, but it doesn't matter when you actually delve deeper into the video, because what Holmes was trying to get her to understand was, well, don't you think that your son, the type of music he was making, contributed to that? And if you look at how she answered the question, it was diametrically opposed to how Chief Keef's grandmother responded. If you remember, Chief Keef's grandmother kind of put him on blast, like, well, he live in my house. Like, where the gang at? Where the folks? Where the vice lords? Where the guns? Where the drugs? Is it in my kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a black elder saying that if he doing this stuff, he not doing it on my watch in my house. Then, diametrically opposed to that, you got, you know, little JoJo's mom saying, well, if he wants to rap, I'm just going to encourage him to follow his dream. But his dream is he had Tech Nines and 380s and 45s in your living room with his friends. If you look at the video, it's enough guns on there. It's about 15 charges. It's about 25 years worth of time on the guns alone. It was in the video. And you said it. Holmes said it. Nobody can get over the fact that this was a handsome young man, a cute, like a little boy. Everybody kept saying he had a baby face. And what I'm saying is that he probably wasn't built like that. You know, people are confusing his music. And if anybody knows about Chicago street culture, it's me, because I'm from Milwaukee. And all of our violence and all of our gang culture came from Chicago. I can't
right,
even fuck to
you.
Right. You remember the show Happy Days? Mm-hmm. You remember the show Happy Days used to come on a long time ago with the Fonz? Like,
right.
People still think that Milwaukee is like that. And they don't understand that now Milwaukee is almost 50% black. And we so ratchet now that cats will, you know, do some time in Chicago. And then they'll come to Milwaukee, and they'll be in Milwaukee for like 2 weeks, and then they'll go to Iowa or something. Because they look at Milwaukee like, I'm going to end up in jail doing the same thing I was doing in Chicago. So, not to be long-winded, the whole point that I'm trying to make is that as adults, we not holding nobody accountable anymore. We got all these black males that want to be rappers. So instead of checking Chief Keef, instead of checking Lil Jojo, we trying to put our mixtape out before them, and we trying to compete with them instead of stepping back. Like, you know, like I'm 35, so most rappers my age don't want to tell nobody how old they are because, oh, well, I'm not going to have no longevity. But you got to be real. You got to be honest, because with me being 35, with me surviving almost getting shot in Chicago, with me surviving almost getting shot in Atlanta, even though I never sold dope, with me having a bachelor's degree and not lying to anybody that I don't have a college degree and still being a rapper, and you've seen, you know, my songs before, so you know that I'm not promoting the same type of stuff that Chief Keef do. And what the young man just said on your show makes sense, but we got to get to the root of it. He said, why don't these kids make more positive songs? Why don't that young lady, instead of rapping about sucking, you know, on penis,
that
why don't she rap about something positive? It's because they not learning nothing in school. You can't rap about nothing positive if you don't know nothing. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why the Chief Keef, that's why they're getting these record deals. Because they don't got to say shit but talk about, okay, I'm going to pop a Molly. Oh, I got the llama. I got the Nina. You know, I'm having sex with this many amount of broads, and I get head, and bam. Now it's on Instagram. There you go. You know what I'm saying? You got five or six different negative topics to recycle. That's all you really need to know. And that's why Lupe Fiasco was basically on radio crying, talking about he don't want to do this no more. Because he knows he sees Chief Keef, either he going to get killed or he going to have to kill that young man. And so Lupe is not a punk. It's just the fact that he know what it is that if he actually confront him, it's either going to be him or this young man. So he's not trying to get killed by no 16-year-old, and he's not trying to kill no 16-year-old. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You're spending a lot of knowledge. A lot of people in the chat room are agreeing with everything that you're saying. And it's the truth. You know, it's to the point now where the music is so dumbed down and manufactured. It has to be it has to be more to it than that. Because you have people, like you said, you make positive rap music. You have people out here rapping about positive things, but their music will never see that commercial success. It's almost like they want us to blow our heads off. They want us to kill each other. They want us to sell poison to each other. Like Ronan was saying a few episodes ago, there's nothing better than hands-free genocide. Remember when you had said that a few shows ago, Ronan?
Yeah.
There's no, you know, and that's what I think it is. I feel like it's somebody pushing this agenda, because why would you go and give that kid a $100,000 contract for rapping about killing folks and selling drugs, but then the kid who's talking about doing something positive for the black community, his music will never see the light of day. Why is Lil Wayne promoted so hard, but Lupe Fiasco has to fight and beg fans on Twitter and Facebook to, you know, march in front of Def Jam or whoever his record label was at the time to get his music out there? He has to fight to get Lasers put out there.
Right.
You know, that's ridiculous. But Lil Wayne never has to fight to get his bullshit put out there.
He jumped on that truck with Lil Mouse.
Yeah.
Right. And like you said, Chad, like you were saying, we're not checking these young kids. You know,
no, not at all. And I can tell
you,
Milwaukee kind of has a movement of young rappers, but this is how it started. They have a form of breakdancing out here called banging and swinging. And so basically there was a whole bunch of dance crews, and then the dance crews started making songs to kind of battle each other with. But then they slowly but surely are trying to get into dissing each other over these dance crews, these dance contests, and now they slowly are trying to get into the, hey, but if we see you in song, then it's going to be some beef. But it's not going to happen on my watch. As long as I'm living here, I'm not going to let it escalate to that, you know, because I check these young dudes.
They do the same thing in Chicago. They got something called the money dance.
And that's what hip-hop, people don't understand. Afrika Bambaataa was part of a movement to stop these cats. A lot of cats don't know that breakdancing started because Afrika Bambaataa, there was two gangs in New York that used to stab and kill each other. And he came up with the idea, instead of y'all always fighting each other, we're going to battle it out. And that's how breakdancing started. Some of the coldest breakdancers that initially started breakdancing in New York will cut your throat from ear to ear. Like the stone cold killers. And Afrika Bambaataa turned that around. You feel what I'm saying? That's why when we call this thing called hip-hop, that's how come some people will say Chief Keef isn't hip-hop. Because, and it's just rap. Because rapping is just one part of the culture. You're supposed to respect all of it. You're supposed to respect the DJs. You're supposed to respect the graffiti artists. You know what I'm saying? Breakdancing is also known as b-boying. So it was to promote unity because this is stuff that kept us together instead of killing each other. But once the corporate side saw that they could make money off the rap aspect, they cut it all off, T. Like, think about it. Even N.W.A., as hardcore as N.W.A. was, they still had DJ Yella. They still had hip-hop in the background on some turntables. Salt and Pepper was the first female rap group to ever sell any records. People talk about Nicki Minaj. Man, wouldn't nobody be checking for Nicki Minaj if it wasn't for Salt and Pepper and MC Light? Because that's how they saw that they could make money off of it. And once they saw that it was profitable, they eliminated that sense of every rapper had two dancers. MC Hammer, b-boying, basically. He was such a cold dancer that he was selling 10 million records. Couldn't rap worth nothing. But people respected it because he was representing hip-hop. And they just kind of moved that out. And y'all right. Talib Kweli, you know, can't get no love. And the one person I will encourage y'all to listen to is a rapper from New York named Immortal Technique. Immortal Technique be turning down the major because he's spitting the truth. And he know that when he go into those meetings that they want him to compromise the truth. You know, and he refuses to. So,
he's always going to stay independent. And I think Immortal Technique is one of I want to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I really do. Y'all should, like, really flood his Twitter page and be like, go on TT's show. I really would love to get Immortal Technique on because he is so intelligent. And then the fact that he was able to make it with no big backing, you know, he was out there struggling. He had a whole video that he had put out recently, his documentary on how he rose to his success. You know, and nobody knew him a few years ago except for, like, you know, underground circles in New York. And now this man is really, really blowing up. And the record labels, they want him so bad, but he don't need them because he was able to do it without major backing. And the stuff he says is so damn real. It's so honest. And he speaks, it really speaks to your soul. That he is what, he is the essence of hip-hop to me. I can listen to Immortal Technique all day, just like with Lupe Fiasco. But, you know,
hey, let's honestly analyze Kanye West. Because if you think about Kanye West's first album, The College Dropout, that was some Immortal Technique level stuff he was doing on that album. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. He was spitting real truth throughout that whole album. But then what happened? These people get a hold of him, man. These people get a hold of him, so then the next single is Gold Digger. And then after that, you know, it's like My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy. You know what I'm saying? He went away from that truth because they were scared of that. The man sold 2 million copies talking the truth. And I interviewed a DJ from a very old hip-hop group that I used to like called UTFO. And his name is Mixmaster Ice. And I was talking to him. And I was asking him, Ice, what happened to Public Enemy? What happened to KRS-One, X-Clan, you know, people that was spitting knowledge and they're still selling records? How come we don't have that anymore? And he said, Tracklacer, he said, if I'm a record executive, why would I pay you to free your people? He said, why would I pay money for you to enlighten and empower your people?
Right.
He said, how much sense does that make? But I'll pay you to be 50 Cent. You know, I'll pay you to be Gucci, man. I'll pay you to be Waka Flocka. But why am I going to pay you to do something that's going to help your people? Because like the young man said, you know, racism is something that is, once it works, you know, it's effective. You can just sit back and chill and just watch us kill each other.
He is right. There is definitely profit in prejudice. And when you have the power to promote your president, there is racism there. And, well, I mean, I remember the groups he was talking about, UTFO, and I was a big X-Clan fan. Back in the days when music was like our version of CNN, where we knew much more than what we know now, and you start seeing these groups die off. I love Public Enemy, and now you're seeing, you know, Flavor of Love, and you just see
all these ratchet TV shows.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like when you said the Kanye album, I bought that and I played that until it broke.
Yep.
And after a while, you see the transformation. Like, man, this is disgusting. Because now, you know,
it's
the same though. So.
Yeah, he not making music for the people no more. Like, if you notice, Kanye is always about himself, and it's always in some way kind of putting down a female. And that's not what he was on. His first single was All Falls Down, with Lauryn Hill singing on the hook. You know, he was uplifting women on the first album, and they just got a hold of him. A lot of people don't know Drake. When Drake was in Canada before he got this deal, his mixtapes, he rapped like Kanye West. He spoke about real issues. But they get a hold of you, man, and they put this money behind you, and they say, well, if you want this money to keep coming, you know, you're going to have to change up your subject matter a little bit.
Well, look at Nicki Minaj. You know what I'm saying? When she was doing the underground,
she was in the hood.
Doing the mixtape, she was good. Like, I liked a lot of her old school music. I'm not old school, but you know what I'm saying? Her mixtape, her underground. But once she signed with Young Money, you know what I'm saying? It's like her skin got lighter. The hair got blonder.
Yep.
Then there came the blue and purple
fake,
green contact.
Fake ass.
Fake tits, you know what I'm saying? If she was gorgeous before, she didn't need none of that. You know what I'm saying? But that's what the industry does to you. It's almost like you got to sell your soul just to get, you know, just to get anywhere, just to get seen. And now she has millions of adoring fans, but it's like you can tell the girl is not happy, and that's what they're saying in the chat room. VH1 actress is saying that, you know, she did an interview with the Breakfast Club a few weeks ago, and you could just tell she's not happy. She's going out. She's accusing people of racism. You know, her albums aren't selling. And it's just like there's something seriously off with her. All that talking with different accents and chanting, you know, Roman. And I just can't get into Nicki. I don't know what the hell done got into her, but dear old Nicki, please come back anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. You know, Professor Griff speaks on it a lot because if you guys know, you know, he's really conscious and he speaks about, like, the Illuminati and how basically it's a takeover of hip-hop. You know, now it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's just to make money, point blank. It's not about enlisting our people. It's not about, you know, educating anybody. It's just strictly to make money. And however you can make that money is what you're going to do. You know, and a lot of people now, they're not willing to tough it out. Like, there's no more Lupe Fiasco. Lupe and Immortal Technique are like the last of a dying breed. Because it's like, why am I going to come out with conscious music to uplift my people when I can just come out with some bullshit and it's going to sell? Because as long as it has a hot beat and I'm just telling you to shake your ass, people going to dance to it. People going to...
Hey, and I got to tell y'all something that'll trip y'all out, too. This is a trend that I've noticed over the past 7-8 years. If Lupe Fiasco comes to Milwaukee to perform, if Talib Kweli comes to perform, even X-Clan, I saw them 5 years ago. I guarantee y'all, every time the conscious political black rappers come to Milwaukee, the whole crowd is Caucasian. I swear to God. So that means that they more into our message than we supposed to be. But let Yo Gotti come. Let Yo Gotti come, and it's sold out. And all his mixtapes is Cocaine Music, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, Volume 4. And I say that to say this. On my very first album that I ever put out in Milwaukee, I had a song called Drugs, Sports, and Entertainment. And that's what the downfall of our people is that everybody is trying to sell dope, everybody's trying to be Derrick Rose, or everybody's trying to be Adrian Peterson, you know, or Trey Songz. You know what I'm saying? We're not paying attention to anything academic, and we're not doing anything. We're not going to school to become doctors, to become lawyers, to become somebody that can help develop some weapons that's going to defend our country. Our whole nation, as black people, is trying to be video vixens. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Our young women ain't even going to Spelman no more because they want to be Buffy the Body. you know what I'm saying, or whoever the latest video vixen slash hoe is, and then everybody else that's a male is trying to rap. And it's not going to happen.
That's the thing about it. It's crazy now.
Only X amount of people are even going to get into that spot, T. So if you waste 30 years of your life trying to get into an industry, and then once you get into the industry, all you're going to do is talk about our women, put our women down, and talk about popping mollies and shooting people? Like, what contribution are you making to us as a people? And as long as we stay stuck on drugs, sports, and entertainment, we're going to continue to lose.
Well, you're right.
And it's so true, even with the whole, like you're saying, they're talking about in the chat room, how everybody wants to be the next Kim Kardashian or the next, you know, big hole or leak out a porn tape. But even with modeling, you know, you get that a lot. Like, when, like now it's even embarrassing, like, you know, y'all know I model on the side. But people who say modeling out with this shit, Drea and Fluffy the Body and Smooth Magazine, it's like, that's not modeling. Like, I do fucking runway. You know what I'm saying? I do real photo shoots. I'm not trying to be in nobody's video. Them girls don't get paid like that. And it's like, I try and tell that to, like, my little nieces and the young girls. Like, you're seeing them on TV, but they're not getting paid like that. She might be on the cover of Smooth Magazine, but who do you think is making the money? The publishers, the editors, the person who interviewed her? She's getting a small portion for that picture. They're not making no money like that. They're being exploited. And these chicks don't even realize that. You know what I'm saying? It's like girls don't even know what modeling is. They don't even know nothing about fashion. All to them is turning around, looking in the mirror, sticking their butt out, and then taking a cell phone cam. That's modeling to them. You can go on any Facebook page and you will see young girls with their butt out, you know what I'm saying, taking them pictures in the mirror. And it's crazy that that's all our generation now is just aspiring to be, is to be a video vixen or a rapper. You know, and it's like on top of that, it's like it's the point now where it's just like, you know, modeling's a side hobby. I don't even speak on that because it's not about that. Besides that, I'm more proud of the fact that I do IT, and I'm one of the few black girls in the IT field in my department. You know what I'm saying? But it's like you don't see girls doing IT. You don't see girls wanting to be, you know, doctors and lawyers anymore or nurses because it's too hard. It's easier to be cute. It's easier to just show off your body. It's easier to be dumb. You know what I'm saying? Why should I go to school and go get a degree when I have some big boobs and I can just be, you know, a Playboy playmate? You know, so that's the mentality. It's like the American mentality is just people are lazy. And however you can get some money and get it quick, that's what they're going to do. And it's really unfortunate, but it's affecting everyone. It's like you have young boys out here, they'd rather dribble a ball than study a book. They'd rather throw football than try and be, you know, a scientist or a doctor. You know, so it's just really unfortunate how the mentality of the people have, like, just seriously changed. Everything is about fame. It's like fame is the end result. Back when we were growing up, if you were famous, you were famous for something. Nowadays, I be hearing names. I'm like, who the hell is this bitch? Oh, well, she was in that. She did a porn tape with, you know, with Jay-Z, or she was in this movie with such and such, or she's a video vixen. And I'm like, is she famous? Or she was on a reality TV show. But when we were younger, you were famous for real things. Like, either you were in a blockbuster movie, you worked your ass off, you were on the Cosby Show. Like, when we saw people, you could say, okay, well, that's Theo from the Cosby Show. He's a hardworking actor. Now you're like, well, that's, you know, DeJuan from Real Housewives of Atlanta. He does hair. What? Why is he famous? You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy how bad the mentality has changed in America, but especially in the black community. It's like we don't aspire to be anything anymore.
Well, I think you also have to, you have to know what they know. And so, like you just said, how nobody's going to school anymore. Yeah, but they got Everest. They got the one on the commercial telling you that you ain't shit. And then, just all you got to do is pick up the phone.
Get up off the couch.
You know, and call. But what they don't understand about that so-called college is that it's for 9 months. And so they get a whole bunch of, you know, single black mothers from the hood to go to this school to be a medical assistant or a dental assistant. And they just basically sell them a dream. They say, hey, you don't got to go down to the University of Minnesota and be a Golden Gopher. You don't got to drive down to Champaign, Urbana, and be with the Fighting Illini and, you know, go to a real four-year school. Just come to Everest for 9 months. And they think they're getting over. But then when they get out the school, they can't get a job. Yeah. That means that they won because they understand our mentality. They understand that
right.
we're trying to put in the work to do nothing. We want whatever
right.
comes to
us,
we want it
instantly. To leave your house to go to college, and you want to sit on the computer and get an online degree, a lot of employers ain't checking for that because if you couldn't even get up to go to school, you might not come to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize a lot of them online degrees, that's not the business. Like, go
mm-hmm.
out and get the college experience. And I'm not saying you got to go to a four-year, go to a technical. You know, go
right.
get some certifications, but show that you can get out and do something. It's like everybody wants that quick fix.
Yeah. What everyone is saying is, like, right, and it all ties in together. It's like when you say with the video models or when you say to the music how it's been pretty much depreciated, and everything that we look at, it's all about it's easier to deal with someone who's just showing their ass versus someone who is showing the depth that they have in their mind, because that can be contagious. They don't
mm-hmm.
want that. Yeah, like anytime, like you're saying, like the man in the music scene or yourself that's, you know, doing something outside of modeling and pretty much doing whatever trivial stuff they put us under, that I don't want people to see that I am much more than just a wicked jump shot or actually, you know, all the stuff that they say that I'm supposed to be. I can be much more. I could be a black doctor. I can be, you know, a black, historian or something that, you know, has more depth or a bank investor, anything. Because once you start thinking outside the box, that's when they see there's going to be a problem. They're never going to
right.
see. So that's why we have all this masturbation that they put out here. We just choice. And all this drivel out here, superficial stuff instead of substance, that's where we get dangerous. And anybody who tells the truth, they're going to sit there and shame you to death or pretty much, you know, do all kinds of slander to put you down or pretty much block you out because they don't want you out there.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right, because it's easier to be dumb. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's a lot less work than actually having to think, you know, and that's what they want. They want sheeple. They want people who are not smart, who are not intelligent, and damn if you, you know, sit there and help feed the masses some positivity or give them something to think about. So it's really crazy, like, how far we've gone as a society and the people, but that's why I enjoy doing these shows. That's why I love, you know, I see some people coming into the chat room, welcome everybody who just came in, you know, because it's good to get a lot of smart, intelligent people, you know what I'm saying, people who think outside the box to come together and come up with different solutions and different ideas. And that's why I love hearing from people of all ages and all races. You know, like we got Mr. Green
mm-hmm.
online, he's 13, but you done shared a wealth of information with us. A lot of people
in the
chat room were shot. We didn't know all that about Chief Keith and his mom and his situation,
mm-hmm.
but you shed a lot of light on that, and I really thank you
yeah.
for that. You know, in
yeah.
fact, you know, he done came through with a bunch of, you know, knowledge, and I definitely agree with you. Like, the Midwest has changed so much. You know, the Midwest
yeah.
was like the white area of America, because you had the South with a lot of the black folks, and you had the West Coast, but it's like
mm-hmm.
the Midwest is getting real grimy now.
Yeah.
You know, and
oh, yeah.
you're right, because we go to Milwaukee and we go to Wisconsin, we got family out there, and it's off the chain. And all that violence from Chicago has spilled over into a lot of these Midwestern states, because now we have just a bigger gang problem here in, you know, quote unquote, white Minneapolis, white Minnesota, as, you know, Chicago. Because
yeah.
of all that the mentality doesn't
Seattle
change.
Too.
These people move, right? These people move, but they bring that mentality with them to the next city.
AT.
You know, so it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you notice there's something missing now? I mean, when you're having people bring in more information than what these news networks are bringing, aren't we supposed to be doing these technical difficulties with the show by now?
Right. Yep, you're right. You're right. And that's what people are saying even in the chat room. Like, you know, folks are going, you know, you got some folks who are trying to go to college, but they're coming out and there's still no jobs. So, you know, it's just a crazy situation. Tamara Lady in the chat room made a really good point. She's saying that debt is a new form of slavery. People are forced to work for low wages to try and pay off debt of the rich people. So it is. It's almost like a really crazy cycle. I don't know if you guys heard, because we've been on this topic for a minute. We have about 20 minutes left. I did a video on it today about the girl who went out and she robbed the bank. And then the girl proceeded to get on YouTube and basically brag about her score. So she gets on YouTube, she brags about stealing a car, She robbed a bank. She got $6,000. She's rich now. And it just shows you how stupid people are and how bad people want fame. Why would you rob a bank and then proceed to make a YouTube video and vlog about
dumb.
It?
Dumb.
But, well, you know what? I'm not even necessarily sure if it's stupid or if with this generation it's just become normalized behavior. And what I mean by that is this. When they were making telephones with caller ID initially, it was like a little separate box. And then you would look at the box, and it would say what the number is. But eventually, they didn't give you the fucking option if you wanted caller ID or not. Your phone automatically came with it, okay? And in society, that's called planned obsolescence. We're going to make something obsolete, and we're not going to give the people an option. So now you look at your cell phone. You can't buy a cell phone that don't have a camera on it no more, okay? Automatically. You can't buy a cell phone that don't have a video camera. So now we have a culture of young people that everything they do, I mean, that's all Twitter and Facebook is. It's just constantly telling people everything that you're doing. Okay, so why do you need to have a Big Brother is watching you, New World Order, 1984 movie or book, if you're on Twitter, Facebook, and on your phone telling everybody every single thing that you're doing? They become so conditioned to telling everybody what they're doing and sharing it on media that it's not even occurring to her that it's stupid as hell to do it after robbing a bank because it becomes normalized behavior. You feel me? The same thing that got our young brother killed, JoJo. When he talking crazy to Chief Keef's guy, he videotaping it on his phone. And the dude step away from the cop and say, "Twice, I'm going to kill you." So after he got that threat that I'm going to kill you, he go on Twitter and say where he is. Now, I don't know if he meant that as a challenge, like, come get me. He might have just did it just like kids do. Well, I'm just riding my bike on such and such. But since they watching your move and they follow you on Twitter, that's how they went to come see that man.
Yep.
So people aren't even conscious of how their actions are affecting themselves or the people around them.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You made a lot of good sense because when you think about it, you know, she was young. She was 19. A lot of these kids are being conditioned. Because a lot of these kids are growing up with social media. Because there was a point when we were growing up, you just didn't tell your business. I don't care what type of dirt you did. Nobody knew, except for maybe your closest friends. But even then, when you did dirt, you did your dirt, and that was it. You didn't brag about it. You didn't, you know, tweet it to nobody. You didn't speak on it because there was no social media.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe your neighborhood knew, but the world didn't know. But you have a lot of these kids, as soon as they do something, whatever it is, they turn around, they're just blasting themselves. They're not even realizing it. You know, like we were saying earlier with the whole little JoJo thing, you know, just for him to get on camera with all these guns and brag about what he going to do. And it's like, where the fuck were his big homies? Where were his uncles at? That's what I'm looking at. Like, you know, where were the dudes who check him?
He ain't had no
like,
big homies.
You can't do that. Right. You know, everybody wanted to cry and mourn now, but where was y'all when he was riding down the street and got shot?
Yeah.
Where was his boys with all this, with the arsenal there? Why wasn't y'all blasting back? You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy how these kids just put everything out there and they don't even think about it. But you're right. You know, who needs Big Brother when folks are steadily telling on themselves?
Right. And we don't even have to just put it just on the kids because look at what the adults do. Let's look at World Star Hip Hop and break down World Star Hip Hop for what it is. Okay. You sitting at the Waffle House in Atlanta and some gay dudes start beating up a straight dude that was calling them faggots. You take out your cell phone and you record it. You send it. You volunteer to send this to World Star Hip Hop, and that video has 1.2 million views right now. They generating traffic and income, and your dumbass just sent it to them for free. And not only did you send it to them for free for them to make revenue, but you denigrated your race and your people by sending it because you are perpetuating the stereotype that we a bunch of animals that don't know how to act in public.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't hear me out here today.
This is what I meant.
Oh, no, we hear you. You're right. Go ahead, Ronnie.
This is what I exactly meant by hands-free genocide. And it's not just in actually physically killing, but it's like pretty much degrading and eroding the importance of mental stimulation or forward progress. Our conflict resolution is non-existent. We have no fucking morals or anything, no cares, no interest of, you know, worry about a fellow man or even ourselves. So we allow sensationalist bullshit, the so-called fulfill us with some emptiness and leave that something that we're not. Like, were you having more? I find it interesting to have, let's say, for example, black women, when you have natural features, but you have magazines and you that what you have naturally is ugly. So when you add it on to a different, all of a sudden that's something beautiful. So now you're buying products, and you're pretty much, we got tens of dollars that come out of our community every year, and we don't have shit to show for it. It bothers me. It bothers me.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
T. Topic. But I was reading on the internet, and I was just looking around. George Zimmerman.
Your phone's breaking up.
Oh, huh. Did you hear about George molesting some girl, or whatever?
You said George Zimmerman molested a girl.
Yeah, news story. It said that when she was six, whatever, and he was about 2 years old, started when she was six, and ended when she was 16, he would molest her and stuff like that.
No, I didn't hear about that one. You don't have to tell me that story.
It's all over the internet.
I know they were the last thing I heard about George Zimmerman. They were saying that photo of him being beat up was photoshopped. So that's the last thing I heard about him, but I haven't heard about him being charged with molestation. Let me ask y'all this. What do y'all think about the dude who got pushed off the subway track in New York City? That case happened, I think it happened yesterday or the day before, and basically there was a crazy guy. You know, a lot of people out here who are mentally disturbed. And the guy basically tried to talk to him, calm him down, and this crazy-ass man pushed him onto the subway train track. So the guy fell down. Yes, he fell down the platform. You would see a picture of him. He's trying to crawl back up. Do you know that this happened in front of a whole bunch of people? Instead of people rushing to go grab this man's arm and pull him back onto the platform, everybody pulled out their cell phone cameras and took pictures of this man, and this man ended up getting hit by a train and died.
Wow. A couple thoughts on that. I think, first of all, we have a society where people are scared to intervene in situations. Like, I think in that situation, they might have just been frozen, because I can't allow my heart to believe that somebody literally just pulled out a phone to watch this man get splattered to pieces. That's probably what happened from what I'm hearing, but I got to give some type of excuse, because I can't allow myself to accept that. But I do think that in terms of confrontation and stuff like that, people are scared to mix it up. People are scared to jump to the defense of a female or to try to break up a fight because they think they're going to catch it next. You know what I'm saying? And have you guys ever been to Atlanta before?
Yep.
Yeah. I've been to Atlanta.
Okay, well, you guys are familiar with the MARTA.
Yeah.
Okay, the MARTA, the train system that runs underground.
Moving Africans around Atlanta rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I had a situation when this dude was walking with his family, and it was around the 4th of July, and he had his little young daughter with some ridiculously tight cut-off shorts on. I glanced at her. I glanced at the whole family, and this man got all up in my face, getting defensive like I was looking at his daughter. And I looked at him like, you know, first of all, I'm a grown man. I don't want your daughter. When I did glance at her, I'm just thinking, like, how can you as a father let her come out like that? And he made the comment, see, that's why I wish I would have had my gun, because I would have popped this nigga. And I swear to God, y'all, I had to kind of hold myself back. But I almost threw him in front of that train. You know what I'm saying? But that's just how I felt at the moment. But I'm just glad that God gives me a little bit of self-control in those moments to let him know that he ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. You know what I mean? And then it just would have contributed to him being dead and me basically being alive in a grave in jail, and everybody would have thought I was the most horrible person in the world for what I did. You know?
Right.
So I'm not trying to take away from what happened in New York, because obviously this guy was mentally ill, but I do just think that we live in a society where everybody's just standing around, man. It reminds you of Boys in the Hood on a movie when everybody had the bars on their windows. It's like people are like in prison within their own lives instead of being active. That's why it's called being a community activist. Because if all you do is go to work and then go back home and lock your door, how do you expect these problems to dissipate? They won't.
Right. And what people are saying in the chat room, they're saying that, the camera lady was saying that a lot of people are just desensitized to the violence. And when they see stuff, they don't even react anymore. Sean was in the chat room saying that in New York, a lot of people just have that mentality where it's like, you know, they're just going to get out of it. They don't want to be bothered. So it's really sad that people can see something like that and not step forward, because I could see him being too heavy for one man to pull, but imagine if two or three strangers just, you know, if you had enough time to pull out your cell phone camera, hit camera, wait for it to load, you know what I'm saying, and then take pictures, you had more than enough time to run to that man and grab his hand and try and pull him up. But it just shows, like, how human decency is no longer there.
Yeah. But not only that, didn't they used to have something called the Good Samaritan Law that made you liable if you saw a crime being committed and you either didn't try to intervene or notify a police officer that you were found guilty?
You know what? I remember that law. They don't have that no more?
I mean, obviously they're not enforcing it, because here's the other thing about YouTube and World Star Hip Hop. There are some videos, and y'all can tell me if I'm lying, there are some videos where somebody's getting beaten, and they say on the video the person died from this beating that's on this video that we uploading.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
If somebody died as a result of a beating that was on a video on World Star Hip Hop that got 200,000 views, how come the person who uploaded it doesn't get charged? Or how come the website that shows it doesn't get charged with anything?
Right.
People are only going to do what they know and what they can get away with. And if our society says, well, hey, that's driving a lot of traffic for the site, so, yeah, we're not going to press charges on nobody for that, you know, because that's money, then of course you're going to be desensitized. Why would you do anything else?
Right.
See?
It's true, because it's like you see one fight video, you send them all. I mean, so now it's almost to the point now where instead of just seeing two girls fighting or, you know, two boys fighting, it's like everybody, if you notice, the fight videos are starting to get worse and worse. Now it's two girls fighting with a chair or two boys fighting with swords. Or, you know what I'm saying? A girl gets her ass so beat so bad she pees on herself. You know, now it's getting, like, really, really extreme. I know it's been that a lot, too, of World Star Hip Hop. What's up?
Oh, yeah, since we're talking about fights, I know you did a video on it, Reese. Beating on that girl, that was his baby mama.
Yeah.
Her name is Anaya.
Oh, that was.
They have a 5-year-old daughter.
Damn, he beat her like that.
Yeah, beat her like that. And
the dude,
his friend Jaquan, jumped in. He was the one that was helping him beat her.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's probably why she didn't press any charges, because that's her baby.
She didn't. No, they have a 5-year-old daughter.
Wow.
Because Reese's 19.
Insane.
They had him when he was 14, I think. 13, 14.
Jesus.
But then think about this. Then what does Def Jam do? Okay, so Def Jam is this multi-million-dollar corporation, and they used to represent, like, real hip-hop, like, you know, Public Enemy and stuff like that. They still got knives over there. But now their agenda is 2 Chainz and Rick Ross. So now it's okay, since we represent 2 Chainz and Rick Ross now, you can beat your baby mama on camera, and we're not going to reprimand you, we're not going to bring you in, we ain't going to give you no counseling. As a matter of fact, we just need to push your single out right now, because you hot right now. You know,
yep.
You just whooped your baby mama on camera, so let's push your new single.
Yep, that's the truth. It's nuts. That's nuts. I mean, that whole situation, like I said, bothered me just for the fact that they were in her home. And, you know,
she told him to get out.
Right. And he should have just left. You know, but you, if you go into my video, though, the video has totally turned left. At first, the comments were, dang, you know, that's messed up. I don't know if all the little Reese's boys have come on there to attack me or cuss me out or cuss out, you know, people in the comment section. But the comments have definitely turned. Now it's more dudes like, who gives a F? If a girl say something,
yeah, that's the mentality
ass,
that they
like,
got over there.
Right, that's the mentality now. And it's not just Chicago, it's everywhere. You know, even if
it's
you're
everywhere.
Not being one of them reckless females, if a dude feel like he just want to grab you and, you know, cuss you out because you're not trying to give him your phone number or holler at him, now it's okay. You know, and it's like I read some of the comments, you know, and it's not, you know, I let people say what they want to say. I don't even care if they come out and disrespect me. They call me all types of bitches. It is what it is. But, you know, I let people say what they want to say in the comment section, but it's just really disturbing to read some of them comments because
yeah.
It's just like, damn, do you not realize, like, you know, you could one day have
she
a daughter.
Beat up.
Or what if somebody beats little Reese's daughter the way he beat that, you know, his baby mama?
Yeah, the way he beat the baby mama.
Hello?
So it's definitely insane.
Yeah.
So we have about four minutes left of the show. This show went by so fast. I can't believe we went online for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But we always have a good time. We always have fun here. We had a lot of people. We had almost close to 30 people that came by the chat room tonight. So definitely a lot of good conversations going on in the chat room. Camera Lady saying that she feels that some celebrities just feel like they're above the law. Celebrity saying that these videos are also helping with convictions. But other people are saying that if the videos weren't made, Batman is saying that if the videos weren't made, then there wouldn't be any need for the convictions in the first place. So it's almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, granted some of these videos help to convict people, but not all the time.
Well, we have like a little 4 minutes left. Can we jump on that Nina Simone thing with Zoe Saldana? I think that's her name.
That's
stupid. Why would they do that? Like, her face looked ratchet. That looked like a man.
Well,
yeah, okay, you know about that case, Ronan, about Zoe trying to play Nina Simone, the dark skinned natural hair lady, and then putting all those prosthetics on her to make her look more.
Yeah,
but
she looked ugly.
Right, she looks crazy. So there's a petition going on online to get her out of that role of Nina Simone. And other people are saying, well, it's the same thing. She's still black. You know, Puerto Ricans are black, and which they are. You know, a lot of people forget that. The only difference between most Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and people who are Hispanic is the fact that they speak Spanish, and that's it. You know, people forget that when they took the slaves from Africa, the first step was the Caribbean, you know what I'm saying, in Central and South America. So there's plenty of people of color of African descent in those countries. So I'm not denying that Zoe is not black. Zoe's definitely black, even
she
though
is black,
you know, her heritage is Puerto Rican. But I don't feel like physically she fits that role.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Because just think about it. Just think about this. If this was a bio about Beyonce, or let's say even if it was a bio about Halle Berry, and they casted somebody like NDRE or Whoopi Goldberg, who is a good actress, by the way, to play the role of Halle Berry, oh, my God. Can you imagine the controversy? A dark-skinned girl playing a Halle Berry?
Yep.
I mean, she would probably get death threats. But it's it's always okay for it to be reversed. You know, it's like Nina Simone stood for something.
They had no problems doing Precious.
Part of her heritage, so they need to just have somebody who looks like her, who has those natural features, play her, in my opinion.
Yeah, they could have even gotten Nia Long to keep it 100 with you. Because Nia Long was complaining about Beyonce getting the obsessed role, you know, because Nia Long just basically felt like Beyonce is a singer. She can't really act like that. And she was upset. Mm-hmm. She was missing out on this role to a singer, basically. But, you know, I'm not really sure what's behind that. It could be, you know, Hollywood, you know, just doing what they do. But I would, you know, the dark-skinned girl from Girlfriends, it's like they got to get out here. You know, you got to do more than just protest. They should be knocking down the door to audition for that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that it isn't her or Rosario Dawson or somebody like that, you know. They got to be active and they got to be speaking up, you know.
Yeah, get those girls.
Right. So we have about 90 seconds left, and we had a really good show tonight. I want to thank everybody who came through. Everybody in the chat room, I want to thank you guys for calling in, and, you know, you guys provided us with a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge, so I really appreciate that. So you guys definitely tune in. We're going to start doing this every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You guys can sign up for the show by logging on to blogtalkradio.com, and I guess you just click the subscribe button and they'll send you a text message or email to your phone to let you know 30 minutes before the show starts. So you guys definitely come back next week and tune in. We had a really good show tonight. Ronan, any last words? We have about 60 seconds left.
Oh, you should let me be a little drop-by host.
You want to be a drop-by host?
Yeah.
Well, call in anytime. I enjoy you calling in, so you can you can call in anytime and chop it up with us. And Track, I want to thank you for calling in too. You gave us a lot of good information. And, you know, and you keep doing your thing with your music. I definitely enjoyed it.
No doubt. I appreciate y'all having me. Anybody that's interested in seeing anything I do musically, you can just type in Track Lacer on YouTube, and my videos will pop up. TRACKLACER.
All right, so we're down to 5 seconds. Everybody have a good night.
All right.
Bye.